Welcome to another sermon podcast from All Souls Anglican Church, Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Thanks for joining us as we study God's Word together. These weekly sermons are part of the teaching ministry of our church. Have your Bible ready as we begin this week's sermon. And stay tuned when we finish at the end to find out more about us.
Now this evening is the 47th sermon in our sermon series on Luke's Gospel, and we'll examine tonight Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, page 869 in your pew Bible. It's another of Luke's better known accounts in the meeting of the Lord Jesus with the two sisters, Martha and Mary, at their home in Bethany. And as we saw last time we were together, when we examined the parable of the Good Samaritan, we must again take particular care not to allow our over-familiarity with a text to impose our own assumptions upon it. And this is particularly the case with the story of Martha and Mary, because today, for example, there's a million-seller self-help book for women called Having a Mary Heart in a Martha World. Or you can go to art galleries around the world and see priceless masterpieces by various artists throughout history, particularly, interestingly enough, since the Reformation, by artists like Vermeer or Rembrandt, of this very scene of Martha and Mary and the Lord Jesus, each artist revealing how they thought the pair interacted with our Lord in the way they're portrayed in the sketch or the painting. In the Middle Ages, they saw the women as allegories of two different ways to live your life in the world. Martha was of worldliness, and Mary was the superior. She had the contemplative life of the cloister, of the nunnery, or the monastery. So with all that in mind, those cautions, what should our principle be for examining this text? Now, it may seem an obvious one, but it's one we might want to remember. And that is simply this, that we find this account in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the story is not of Martha and Mary, but it is a story of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the story of his place in the life of the believer. It's a story about how his word, the word of God, transforms both women. The teaching is profoundly actualized in their lives, as we will see. We're reminded how our posture in our actions as God's servants must always keep this priority. God's word must remain foremost and stay ever before us. Because we see here the excellence of both women is deepened and enhanced to such an extent that they comprehend, they have a clarity that the other disciples ultimately miss. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, it's Martha alongside Peter that makes the profession that the Lord Jesus is the Christ. And for Mary, to the consternation of the 12, she clearly understood the necessity that the Christ must be crushed, wounded indeed to die for our transgressions, for the Lord had laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He must die so that we might live. So let's look at this account now, because Luke does set it up very simply for us. It begins in verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Now, first, I'd like you to see how this account is tied to the one immediately before it, the one of the Good Samaritan. Immediately, we have this question of hospitality. or comfort on the road. But this is not just any old road, now is it? We've already seen how Luke has transitioned from the ministry in Galilee to the journey of Jerusalem, the journey to the cross. The cross looms in every scene for the rest of Luke's gospel. We should also see how Luke uses a technical term in the original language that sets Martha apart. What we see here is that Martha has a quality of authority in the reception of this group. Now, what do I mean by that? What I mean is that she is the patron of the household. She is the one authorized to make all the decisions for hospitality. Now, the third thing I want you to notice is the shift in pronouns. It may seem like a minor thing, but what you can imagine it to be like is a microscope where you're turning the magnification ever higher to get a close-up view of the details in this scene. There's a shift. Do you see it from they? Now, as they went on their way, do you see that? To welcomed him into her house. You see, even though the Lord Jesus travels together with the 12, this encounter quickly spotlights this unique focus. The other companions fade from the scene. We could also add some details here from John's gospel, because John chapter 11, verse 5 tells us that Jesus loved to be with this family. In other words, he had been a frequent visitor to their home. We don't know if this encounter was the first time in the account of visiting back and forth or whether it was the last. We just don't know. But we do know that he was a frequent visitor there. And we can deduce then that Martha, her sister, and her brother Lazarus were already followers of the Lord Jesus at this time. They had heard him preach the word of salvation. They had believed and trusted in him and now loved him devotedly. We also learn from John chapter 11, verse 1, that their home was in Bethany, a little village less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. So pulling all this together, we can see that Martha's responsibility has many layers to it. She has dedicated the resources under her authority to serve the Lord Jesus. And with that dedication comes an ever greater sense of responsibility that comes with being the one in authority where the decisions are made, where the buck stops. But that is where the problem begins, because Martha has missed the reality of what lay ahead. Our Lord Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's on his way to the cross. She had not yet connected his presence with what the scriptures testify as to his purpose. The Messiah must be killed for our transgressions. In other words, her sense of seriousness or responsibility gave her, let's call it, a nearsightedness. She cannot see what is in the distance because her entire focus is in the present. And Luke makes this very clear in the contrast with her sister in the verse that follows. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. Now, I want you to notice how Mary stands out here. As we've seen when we examine the song of Mary in Luke chapter 1, Jesus' mother, the Magnificat, we understood and learned how women were to be instructed in the Old Testament. But what stands out is Mary's posture. You see, it's not just a matter of there wasn't a place in the room for her to place herself, but rather this posture at his feet expresses a particular status, and that status is that she is recognized as a disciple of the Lord Jesus. And this is what is so startling, because at this time it was unheard of for a rabbi to confer the position of a student, a serious student, to sit at his feet, and for that student to be a woman. So right away, Luke gets us focused here that we have before us a serious disciple. Notice how both sisters carry a responsibility, one with the authority of the household and the other a seriousness in learning. She is learning with an intentionality. She has an undivided attention to the Word of God that those around her lack. That is why she stands out. We can understand this contrast. Both women are serious. Both are serious in their responsibility. And Mary's seriousness kept her attentive, but Martha's seriousness made her distracted. That's in verse 40, isn't it? Martha was distracted with much serving. Now, the sense of the original language makes it much clearer for us. The sense of distracted here is to be pulled or to be dragged away. The point being that Martha understood the importance of keeping the Lord Jesus at the center. She wanted to take her place as well as a student of his word. But her duties pulled, they dragged her away. We can imagine for ourselves how she may be coming in and out, catching snatches of what the Lord Jesus was teaching, wanting to hear more, but needing to be pulled away again for another decision in the household. The duty and responsibility of hospitality, of being the host, kept dragging her away. What is the issue then here that Luke is trying to underline? I think it is the issue of priority. In other words, what are the decisions you and I make as believers in the ordering of our day? Martha, whom we shall see in a moment, one of Jesus' most devoted and perceptive disciples, reached a breaking point in the tension in getting her priorities wrong. And that's in verse 40b. She went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." Remember, Martha has missed completely in the moment this critical time in the ministry of the Lord Jesus, where he is teaching that his road is leading to the cross, and that he indeed would have preferred her company over her service. Jesus on the road to Jerusalem requires teaching and learning of his disciples. Now, such tunnel vision is very common to us all, isn't it? We can easily allow our priorities to slip, letting the day-to-day lists of to-do things get in our way and miss the most important thing. And we can feel that tension over time. I think when you've been in God's Word for many months and then come into a season of your life where you allow the activities to overtake it, you begin to miss it. A tension develops. And in the same way, Martha has it here. This tension, if left unchecked, can destroy her inner soul of gospel service. What can become something for God's glory is turned inward and becomes an affirmation of my usefulness, either to those around me or to myself. Martha's seriousness had led her to stay focused in the matters pressing moment by moment. But the Lord lovingly does not leave her that way, does he? The Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Now notice how the Lord Jesus begins with real affection in repeating her name those two times, "Martha, Martha." There is a gentle and loving admonition here, isn't there? The one thing that is necessary, the good portion, is listening to the Word of God. The highest priority for those who would be active for the Lord is listening to His Word. The Lord Jesus provides wisdom for all who are serving Him. It's all too common, all too easy for our service for Christ to hinder Christ in us. There's a danger of drift. In other words, we allow an interest or a concern to so pull us in our lives that we have little time to let God's Word speak to us. Yet without the benefit of that Word and the power of the Holy Spirit working through that Word, what will happen? We will turn inward once again, shutting our Heavenly Father out. We lose the one thing, the good portion that Christ promised. We need to choose very deliberately, don't we? Because life does not arrange itself into proper priorities, does it? Because the world still groans under the curse, waiting for the dawning of its redemption. So as believers, we should never expect the world to naturally fall into place, because it remains under the curse. So we have to be intentional. We have to be disciplined in our soul care, that good portion. But be encouraged, because we know from what happens later that Martha learned in this encounter and chose the good portion, the necessary thing, for the rest of her days. How do we know this? Because her trust in Jesus' teaching is given to us in the full in her later profession. This later profession was after the death of her brother Lazarus in John 11. He had died, as you may recall, and Jesus had delayed coming to his bedside. Martha had received word that Jesus was approaching the town. So leaving her sister behind, she went out to meet him. And exactly like the Apostle Peter, indeed, it's fascinating to see that in John's Gospel, Peter does not make the profession that Jesus is the Christ. Instead, it's Martha. This is what she said. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And she said to him, and here it is, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." You see, Martha is the author of one of the two great professions of Christ in the New Testament. The other is Peter in Luke chapter 9, as we saw. The substance of them are identical, with just a slight variation. Peter confessed that you are the Christ of God, and Martha, you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Indeed, Martha's is more precise, making a clear indication there of his relationship to his heavenly Father. She had been listening as he taught them to pray. How did Martha come to this? She had chosen the one thing. She had sat with Mary at Jesus' feet. She was an avid hearer of the word, and the church is built on her profession as it is Peter's. As for Mary, we also know that she kept to the one thing and remained a student of the words of Jesus. Because John 12 tells us this. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at table. Do you notice? Nothing much has changed, has it? Martha's still serving. But there's a clue in that Mary was alongside her sister in serving at this point. Because without warning, she approached Jesus reclining at table, carrying an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, like a family heirloom. And she poured a generous portion on Jesus' head, anointing him, and then the rest of the contents on his feet, humbly, worshipfully wiping his feet with her hair. She would not have been able to do this if she had not been moving round the table in acts of service. Mary is intentionally fervent in expressing her devotion and love for her Savior. It's one of the most wonderful examples in all of the scriptures, because that ointment is equal to a year's wages, perhaps in our terms, $35,000 in all. Why the sacrifice? Why this act of worship? The answer came from Jesus' lips when he answered Mary's critics in verse 7. Leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. You see, Mary understood. She had learned, sitting at Jesus' feet, what the other apostles had missed. Though Jesus had repeatedly spoken of his death, the disciples couldn't accept it. The concept of a suffering Messiah did not coincide with their expectations, therefore it was something to be forgot. But Mary, listening seriously and responsibly, understood that he was to die and why he was to die. And so she anointed him for burial. You see, my dear friends, be encouraged. The insight of these two sisters, Martha's grand profession and Mary's grand anointing of the Lord Jesus, came from the fact that they had given themselves to one thing, the good portion, listening to the Word of God. Amen.
Thank you for listening. You can find out more about us by going to our website, allsoulsnj.org. There, you can support our mission by making a one-time donation or starting a podcast member subscription by clicking the Support the Show link under the Contact Us tab. You can also support us in prayer by clicking the email newsletter tab at the top. All Souls Anglican Church. Simple Church, Ancient Truth, Real People, New Life.